Welcome to the Blues Newscast. I'm Loretta Johns, Carlton's media manager, and today we're talking all things AFL fixture after the AFL revealed its draw for season 2015 today. And to talk all things fixture for Carlton, I'm joined by our CEO, Stephen Trigg. Welcome to the Blues Newscast, Stephen.
Thank you, Loretta.
Your very first Blues Newscast. We hope it's the first of many.
I'm very nervous.
Well, taking a look at the fixture today, I know you would have only seen it in its entirety for its first time very recently. What is your overall feeling and how Carlton has done out of this?
Well, I think all Carlton people should be really pleased. Since arrival here in mid-August, there's been a lot of talk about how difficult the fixture was last year and how unfamily and unfan-friendly Carlton's fixture was. This year, into 2015, I reckon with three Saturday afternoon games, a Saturday twilight, a middle of Sunday afternoon fixture times three, and throw in a couple of blockbuster Thursday, Friday nights. I reckon it's a really terrific fixture for us to get fans back to the games and to excite, because we start with five of the first seven games are home fixtures, including Richmond, Essendon and Collingwood. So, you know, it's a great start to the season as well.
Blockbuster start to the season, some would say. Look, the initial feedback I've received on Twitter since we've gone live with this morning is that fans are overwhelmingly in support of those Saturday afternoon games. Mm. Is that something that we've had a lot of feedback about, and is that something you actively pursued with the AFL?
We did actively pursue it, but I have to say that, to be fair to the AFL, they were well aware already of the big issues from 2014 in terms of playing around with those or experimenting with those time slots that didn't work, and we know about some of that variable pricing and so forth. So some things that did not work for the AFL, and all credit to them for recognising that. And when you couple that up with Carlton's very firm requests for more fan-friendly time slots and the traditional time slots of Saturday afternoon, to get three of them plus a twilight game, I reckon is a great outcome.
One of the things that really did hurt us this year was those Sunday night fixtures, and we opened the season against Port Adelaide, 24,000 people only for our season opener, as opposed to the 80,000 plus we've seen when we play Richmond. Good news, playing Richmond, round one. Excited about that?
I am excited. An 80,000 home crowd is something that, for me, coming from a different part of Australia where the crowds were really strong, but we could only jam 51,000 in there or 52,000. The prospect of 80 for your season opener as a home game is really tantalising. So, you know, immediately your mind goes to the result, and hopefully we can win the thing. But it should be a great start for our supporters.
If I could just go to some of the highlights of this fixture for Carlton. It had already been announced that we will face St Kilda in Wellington on Anzac Day, the first of five AFL games on Anzac Day this year. That match for our club, it will be a very special day. What will we look to do around that?
So it's not often, Loretta, that you get excited about an away fixture, but that one, it looms as being really special. 100 years since landing at Gallipoli and all the celebration that goes on with that throughout, and for us to be a part of that in New Zealand, I think is a very, very unique and special opportunity. We've already spoken to St Kilda about helping to promote that game, to construct something that's a bit outside the box in terms of an offering for our potentially travelling supporters, and to do some things around that Anzac spirit that you can really only best do on the day. And so to be involved in it as one of, is it five fixtures, is on a massive day of celebration. Look, honestly, I think as an away fixture, as away fixtures go, it's as good as it gets.
Certainly one that I'm looking forward to. And we back it up the very next week with a massive game for Mick Malthouse, record-breaking game against the Pies. Now, I understand that he wanted to play the Pies.
Well, again, all credit to the AFL for giving him the opportunity to have some input to who he would play. And, of course, with his background at Bulldogs and Richmond, West Coast, etc., Collingwood bubbled up as, spent 12 years there, but more in mix, and I've had several discussions with him on this. In his own mind, the respect that he would and we would collectively be able to afford to Jock McHale and his family was the preeminent thing in mixed thinking, and all credit to him for that, because I think it marries up really nicely. Besides the event that would be a Friday night Collingwood normal massive game, to add this layer to it, I mean, it's off the planet, really. 715 games, it's quite extraordinary. So I've spoken to Collingwood. They are very keen to help the celebration, and I think it will be a terrific occasion for everybody. And yeah, I don't know what the crowd looks like that night. Given some decent weather, it could have a nine in front of it, so it'll be great. It'll
be fantastic. One of the initial challenges I perhaps see to this fixture is on Mother's Day we are set to play Brisbane at Etihad in a Sunday afternoon match. Do you think that could be difficult to get people through the gate?
Well, if you took the glass half full, 320 is better than 140 or a lunchtime fixture, but it's still really difficult. It is, and it's recognised that it's difficult because the AFL have only programmed a couple of fixtures on that day. It is in fixture terms the graveyard slot, but at 320 there is an opportunity, and being the only game in Melbourne that day is an opportunity. And I'll say right now, we'd like to do something really special that day. I don't quite know what it is, but one, we need to, and two, we would like to want to do something special that day for the mums or a cause or both. And we'll set our team to work on what that might look like.
The other thing that stands out to me a little bit is we travel six times next year. We travelled five this year. If you take into account we go to Perth in the pre-season as well, we actually travel to Perth three times overall. Now, some of the players might be clapping their hands over the velocity points that they'll gain out of this, but some of them might be a little bit hesitant about three big trips. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's expensive. it's three times over there is good in the sense that we have over 2,500 supporter group members over there. Really strong. I mean, that's a big number, and so it's good for that. From that perspective, we can do some neat things on three trips over there. It is a touch more expensive, seriously, but equally, it's demanding. In a footy sense, we know that. But I sent the coach a note who's in Wales at the moment, this morning, with the fixture and a quick commentary to say that, overall it looks good. And he came back saying, yep, a couple of tough trips to Perth, but if you're good enough to make the eight, it doesn't matter where you're travelling. So his attitude's great to it.
Overall, if there were some things on your wish list out of this, is there much that the AFL's missed, or have they largely been able to meet Carlton's requests this year?
They have. Look, first and foremost, and back to where we started with this, is just the absolute imperative that was getting our games into better time slots. We leaked or lost, I'm led to understand, a couple of thousand family members last year because the time slots just didn't work. Going to school, for example, the day after a late finish on a Sunday night just doesn't fly. So fundamentally, getting the right time slots and a good spread was critical. Mission accomplished. Starting the season with some really heavy hitting opponents to get some excitement in the start of the season is a terrific thing for us as well. Including, as you say, round five with Mick's record breaking game. Now, I don't think much has been missed. There's a slightly odd quirk in it in the middle there somewhere. And you can do this, of course, when you have 10 teams out of Victoria. But at some stage in the first third of the season, we have three home games in a row. Mm. And then through the middle part of the year, we actually have three nominated away games, even though we are playing a couple of them in Melbourne. They're nominated away games. So from a membership perspective in terms of the access, there's three in a row early-ish, and then there's three in a row away through the middle part, which is a bit odd. No big deal, but a bit odd. I can't remember seeing that much before. But otherwise, Loretta, I as I said right at the start, I think it's a really good fixture for fans, it's good for the footy club overall. There's some really beaut bits in there. Anzac Day, the record-breaking game, some big Friday night games. We play some away Friday night games, which gives us some great exposure. No, I think you're a grizzler if you complain about it.
You did touch on membership, and of course, if anybody wants to take out membership, it is membership.carltonfc.com.au or call 1300 Carlton. With this fixture, I mean, we didn't quite hit the target we wanted to with membership this year. Do you think this will have a positive impact on, obviously, team performance will, but getting people through the gate, getting members signed up, the fixture does play a big part.
Well, you rolled a couple of things together there, and as you've probably heard me say internally a fair bit, and it's worth sharing with our supporters, is that, look, membership's really important. There's no doubt about that. It is the lifeblood of the club, but I have this view that across the competition we've got really hung up about the membership number, just as a raw number. And yes, we'd want Carlton's to be higher, obviously. But it's not is a reflection of a few things, including the need to better engage our fans and have them feel loved and connected and well communicated with, and all those things that hopefully they're starting to hear a bit more about. By and large, the fixture gives us an opportunity to get people to the games. And instead of being hung up on the membership number, I'm really keen for us to have as an absolute number one priority is driving attendance, because that's the time that we can best engage with Carlton supporters. The fixture gives us an opportunity to do that. And so a lot of our impetus, a lot of our emphasis is going to be on, come on, get along to the games. And when we get there, hopefully on field we can put on a decent show, but around what we do there, I'd like us to, you know, go up through the gears and make it an even much better experience once you're there.
From a staff perspective, it certainly sounds like there's exciting things to come next year, so I'm looking forward to it personally. Just back on membership, anyone visiting our membership website will notice our new logo or slogan, if you like. We are the Navy Blues, one club, one tribe, one love. Can you explain a bit of the philosophy behind that to me?
Succinctly, or briefly, I suppose it was spawned or started when, you know, even before I arrived, I started to get this feel that, you know, I was coming from a club, Adelaide, big club, big presence in the state, but it's nothing like the reach of Carlton. That was the sense I had beforehand. On arrival, that sense was greatly enhanced, is that this is a club has got unbelievable reach and unbelievable support, but a lot of it's, for want of a better term, latent. And, you know, above all else, as I've said to people internally, to the board and so forth, whenever we reflect on our time together as we go through this now, and I'm talking about me and us and board and everybody, we have to look back and go, we reunited the club. We have to look back and go, it was one club. And bring all of the stakeholders who need to come inside the circle, if you like, inside. Supporters, members, corporates, past board, life members, ambassadors, the myriad of people who support us out there. It is, you know, that the task is sizable. But I am, and we are as a board and management and staff, really hell-bent on bringing people with us on this trip that we're going on here. Now, from that came the terminology early about, yeah, it's just a massive tribe, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And next thing, I had this thing called the tribe starting to come back at me, and it started to grip. And it is a tribe. It has its own rituals and its own way and its own sense of pride and its colours and all of that. So one tribe started to stick. The one club is our absolute mandate and where we want to be, and hopefully it's a fair bit of the way we are now, but it's more of what we want to be. And the one love, well, there'll be some who'll go, I'm not sure about that phrase, but anybody who's deeply attached to their footy club just loves it. And so one club, one tribe, one love, just stitched together really nicely. And you'll see some of the imagery that we start to produce that reflects that. So, look, I hope supporters like it. You can't just inject this into somebody and say, here, take that. We need to have them feel as though that it's real and start to live it. So hopefully we can help with that feeling of connectedness as time goes by.
Well, I, for one, am a big fan. We are the Navy Blues, one club, one tribe, one love. We'll be hearing more of that and hopefully hearing the boys singing the song a lot next year. Stephen Trigg, thank you for joining us on the Blues Newscast today.
Thanks, Luda.